from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Those radio losers, nobody cares about them.
Afternoons on the Score.
That is a rocket heading toward the pavilion. Shohei is on one.
Look, we're not going to be in the Ohtani race. I'll tell you that right now. Give it.
Oh, my God, that is funny.
Imagine, just imagine being a fan.
Oh, man.
Dude, being a fan of a team when the owner, like, jokes with his cronies and his some of his media folks.
I'd be pissed.
Yeah.
I'd be very angry.
That's how you'd be. That's how you'd feel. When he jokes like, oh, yeah, you know that transformational, that transcendental, that Babe Ruth-type guy who's clearly the most amazing thing this game has seen in decades? Yeah, we're not going to be trying for him. No.
Best player of the millennium, and we're just going to, yeah.
That's not the sport we play.
But it, you know what it is? It's that he can joke about it, and everybody knows he's dead serious in that joke. And we didn't even, we did know. We knew you weren't. We knew you weren't interested.
All those writers standing there is like, oh yeah, no, we know.
We know.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
Like, but
and then it was all of us left going, wait a minute. Like, listen to the comfort with which that man is batting down this concept.
And the answer is, well, if you want guys like that, you're going to need to build that new stadium at that site in the South Loop.
Yeah, there you go.
And then we could talk about it.
Oh, dude, they share a building at Camelback.
That's all they share.
I would say laundry. Like they have the same laundry service out there.
I'm sure I'm sure like their laundry rooms are like connected because the way, you know, when you build a huge complex like that, like everything's got to be lined up night. Like their kitchens are back to back.
And right, the kitchens are back to back. But I assume that what's on the menu is vastly different.
Could be.
I can only assume. It's like the difference between the Dodgers and the White Sox, and the Dodgers are here tonight, and this is Garrett Crochet against Shohei Ohtani and others. That's kind of fun right there.
Sounds like a big moment for the Garrett Crochet trade market.
Oh boy. I hope they don't trade him. I don't want them to. But walk with me on this.
Okay? I'm walking.
I'm thinking that I can't find another matchup between two current sports franchises where the teams are more dissimilar than the Dodgers and the White Sox. Okay? First of all, there's the standings. It's a difference of 54 games. The Dodgers are 17 over 500, and the White Sox are 37 games under 500. So they're 54 games separated. Okay?
Okay.
Run differential. It's a difference of 276 runs between these two teams. It's not even July. A plus 112 against a minus 164.
When you say it like that, that's wild. The plus 112 and the minus 164. Like, the minus 164 on its own is wild.
Oh, yeah.
But when you want to compare it to the top, yeah, that's...
The plus 112. And you're like, oh, how did they get there? How did they get to the run differential?
Well, you know, 112, that's where the players dwell. I guess they just haven't gotten there yet.
Let's look at the OPS, all right?
Do you really want to do this?
Oh, I do, because I went deep on it, because I'm thinking, because it's not just numbers and on-the-field stuff, but let's stay with on-the-field.
Okay.
On-base plus slugging. Dodgers first, White Sox 30th. That would be as far as you can get.
That's as far as you can get, yes.
Yeah. Runs scored, Dodgers third, White Sox 30th. You can hang out around 30th for the White Sox in a lot of offensive categories.
Okay.
How about ERA? Pitchers, earned run average. Let's go to the pitching side. Dodgers, third. White Sox, 29th. 29th in MLB. WHIP, walks plus hits per innings pitched. How many base runners are you putting on? Dodgers, second in all of baseball. White Sox, 29th. I mean, my goodness. I know we could do this if the Phillies came to town or if the Yankees came to town, but these organizations share a building. And
that's about it. Like I said,
And now we can start to go a little bit next level here. Okay?
What's next level?
How about managers? Let's talk about managers. Shane, I know you don't like Dave Roberts. I know you think he's a bad guy. Or is that just a narrative that you've invented? I get confused. It's very easy to get confused. Yeah, Peter, you can speak for Shane since our intern Peter Hansen is in the Shane position. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've heard Dave Roberts is like a really bad guy.
Because he literally just heard that Dave Roberts is a really bad guy.
Man.
Peter's got a future in the game.
Put it on Peter. Put it on Peter. Peter's playing along. Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah. No. Tanny, would you cut that? Would you edit that, please, Tanny? And we'll send it to Dave.
Okay, so
Dave Roberts, guess where he ranks among active managers in terms of winning percentage?
It's very high. I'm going to say it's number one.
Number one in terms of winning percentage in all of baseball with a 6.28.
I know where the other guy ranks.
Where does Pedro Grifol rank?
It'll be at the other end of the spectrum.
Dead last. Dead last with a 3.40 winning percentage.
There's guys who have hit over 3.40 recently.
Roberts, by the way, fifth among all active managers in wins. Anybody want to guess who the other manager is ahead of Dave Roberts actively in wins? Peter, you think a lot of people should be ahead of Dave Roberts in wins. I know how much you hate Dave Roberts. That's obvious. It's all right. Bruce Bochy, Bob Melvin, Bud Black, A.J. Hinch have more wins in their managerial
careers.
Wait,
was that last name again?
A.J. Hinch.
I've heard that name before.
Oh, yeah. He was written down as a possibility.
Yeah.
Said it was La Russa. So anyway, Roberts, number one in winning percentage, Grifol dead last. How about, let's talk about the front office, shall we, as we compare the Dodgers and the White Sox as organizations. In the front office for the Dodgers, you know who the team president is? It's Stan Kasten. The Braves, when Stan Kasten was the president of the Braves, they won 14 straight divisions.
Is that a lot?
Yeah.
But they only won one World Series.
That's true. Okay. But 14 straight divisions was pretty good.
Yeah.
And by the way, when he was president of the Braves, he also ended up president of the Atlanta Hawks and the Atlanta Thrashers. He's the only man ever to run three teams simultaneously in three different leagues, Stan Kasten.
You could argue that he wasn't that great because the Thrashers are no longer in Atlanta.
Yeah, you could argue that. Sure. But he's got
playing
a lot of
devil's advocate for you here.
A lot of experience.
Yes.
Including winning 14 straight divisions with the Braves and being part of the Dodgers as they've made 8 straight postseasons.
And they have won a World Series.
Yes. Yes,
so
they have.
There's that.
So there's that. Then the president of baseball operations is Andrew Friedman. He is the absolute state of the art who built the Tampa Rays into what they are, the efficient juggernaut that he built. And now, since coming to the Dodgers with endless money, they've made 7 straight postseasons while Andrew Friedman has been there.
7 straight's pretty good.
Yeah, 7 straight's pretty good. They got to still have a great farm system, even now, while they're spending like crazy. The White Sox baseball boss is first-year GM Chris Getz, who was hired from within. They interviewed no one else, and he built a truly terrible farm system and development system, for which he has been rewarded by being made the general manager.
You got to remind people, he was in charge of said development and farm system before becoming the newest guy in charge of the entire operation.
Uh-huh. So that's baseball infrastructure. Oh, and by the way, there's Tony La Russa, who is the de facto shadow president of baseball operations.
Year.
Yeah, he's involved deeply in every decision, according to Bob Nightingale yesterday in USA Today. Involved deeply in every decision. Then you go to ownership. There's the Mark Walters Group and all the money that the Dodgers use. You know what they do? They use massive amounts of money, but with the benefits of an enormous television deal. They use every loophole imaginable, like deferring money for decades down the line to spend even more than they're even allowed to spend. Jerry is caustically, problematically cheap, who's keeping a terrible manager around just because he doesn't want to pay two. He's not even paying him that much, but just he's letting them drift with a horrific manager all season long, apparently.
Does that so we have all concluded that Pedro Grifol is going to manage till the end of the season, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm just making sure we're on the same page,
yeah.
You and I, that Pedro Grifol will manage this team. And because some of me says, well, maybe a new voice is needed, but the second part of me is like, a new voice to do what exactly?
Maybe later on in the season, I could see the new voice having
If they do call purpose. Up a bunch of kids.
Yeah, if they call up a bunch of kids.
They've called up some kids.
They have called up some kids.
Like the starting rotation.
I can see that, and I can see that maybe making sense once the, you know, and the prorated amount of money that you owe them is going away, especially if there's somebody right there on staff, like Charlie Montoyo. That's his name, by the way. His name is Charlie Montoyo.
Bench coach.
Yeah, and so he could do that.
So.
And I got one more category
for
you. Oh,
you got another one?
Last category here. Unless you had, well, but here, I guess two more, but here's one more. How about television broadcaster?
Why are you doing this? Okay.
Joe Davis is the national voice of the All-Star Game and the World Series and every big Fox broadcast.
Yes, he is the lead voice of baseball on Fox.
And that's the Dodgers television play-by-play guy.
Yes.
And then the White Sox guy is the butt of jokes all around the industry and a constant in the algorithm for awful announcing. I'll tell you this, though. Radio broadcasting, Len Casper and Darren Jackson, very good. Charlie Steiner and Rick Mondays, the Dodgers team, best matchup of the segment so far. And best matchup of the segment is the White Sox radio booth.
We could say the closest matchup. Like, yes. You could have a conversation about it.
Yeah.
Some of these other things, we haven't been able to have a conversation about it because that's a lot of negativity you're throwing at me
I'm
right
sorry,
now.
I'm sorry, man. It's just they're playing tonight, and they share a building. All right, and the last one I had is payroll. Right now, on payroll-wise, it's not a brutal payroll for the White Sox. Just on paper, it's 7th. Dodgers are 7th, and the White Sox are 18th. But that's misleading because the Dodgers have all those deferrals like we were talking about, and the White Sox are stuck with some contracts they want no part of that they can't get rid of right now.
It will be very different in 2025.
2025 will be 8th and 18th. 2026, this is what's on the books right now.
Okay.
2026, 5th and 21st. 2027 on the books, 2nd and 22nd. 2028 on the books, 4th and 29th in payroll. Because the Dodgers are spending and planning to spend for all of the foreseeable future.
The White Sox will be spending more than that in 2028. I am confident in that. How much more? I can't tell you. But they won't be 28th, you said, in 2028. Wait, no, you're 28, yeah. They'll be higher up.
Hmm.
They'll be better, too. I do believe the White Sox will be better in a few years.
I think they will, because you know what? There's one other aspect that we could compare, which is the minor
farm
league systems.
Yeah.
The current minor league systems, the White Sox have a lot of talent that is playing well and winning games in the minor leagues as of right now. So, you know, Birmingham is a place with a lot of bona fide players, and there are a couple other spots lower as well that they feel good about and should feel good about and are rated pretty highly. It's far away from getting to the bigs, but we'll give them credit for that. So I think absolutely in terms of radio broadcast and the low minors, you've got some matchups that you can hang your hat on. Everything else is about as disparate as it gets in professional
sports. I like
sports.
That we ended that comparison on a somewhat positive note with the radio and the farm systems.
Yes.
So it's not all is not. You know, woe is me, the sky is falling in.
All right, one more. Ballpark food. White Sox ballpark food kills, man. I think it's better than Dodger. I haven't been to Dodger Stadium in a while. Tanner, you been there in a while?
I have. I was there in 2018. So it was like after the renovations. And, you know, I'll always champion the food at the rate. But Dodger Stadium, they've got the elote, but they've got a flaming hot Frito.
Elote?
Yeah.
Oh, it was legit?
Oh, yeah.
Better than the milkshake?
Well, I haven't had the milkshake yet.
Okay.
So maybe
you haven't
tonight.
Had the campfire milkshake?
I have not.
You going tonight?
I haven't been to a game yet. No, I'm not going tonight.
Yo, the way he trapped you with that line of questioning.
He really did.
Yeah, he led him all the way off the witness stand into the galley. Like, yes. So food, apparently, I'm not a Dodger Dog fan. Like
I wasn't either.
I was like, this is the
It's just a long hot dog.
Yeah, like there's nothing on, like I guess I gotta put some mustard and maybe some ketchup on it.
Mm.
But yeah, so like that's a thing. Now let's go back to the question at hand though.
Yeah.
Cause you wanna know, is this the furthest away two organizations are in a sport?
Yeah, right. Is there any other sport where you could have Chiefs and Carolina Panthers in the NFL if they matched up this coming season? And I don't know if they do. I wish my NFL schedule guy was here.
I don't know because...
But Harry Tynowitz, I haven't talked to him in a while.
Bryce Young, he looks like he's gained some weight, and he might be better. Like, the Panthers might be better. I don't know how
he
much better they're going to be.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, any given Sunday is that for a reason.
What's the NBA version? The Pistons? Pistons-Celtics game?
I think
in terms of organizational health,
I think it's not the Pistons. Well, with the Pistons and their recent coaching decision.
And the Pistons were supposed to be a little better last year, and then they were an absolute freaking debacle.
But that's why I don't know if the Pistons are the fair thing, because they do have talent on that roster.
And they got an owner who's willing to eat $65 million to try and right the ship.
But I think that says something about ownership, right? Like, you're willing to say, the whole thing about making mistakes is it's okay to make mistakes if you can correct them quickly. That's why. But in that same vein, in that same Eastern Conference, mm-hmm. I'd say the better comparison is the Boston Celtics and the Washington Wizards.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you think so?
The Wizards are just like, what are you doing? Like, they traded for Jordan Poole. I don't know if you saw how he played last season.
Oh, my God. It was a disaster.
It was, yes.
So a rudderless organization?
Yeah.
With no real good young players? Because the Pistons actually have some good
young
players.
Yes, they have talent. Like, the Pistons can do some things.
Mm-hmm.
But the Washington, like, what? Do you trust the Wizards to do anything?
No.
At any point?
But I can't pretend I can speak on the Wizards.
I follow the NBA like, so I'm going to tell you the Wizards look like the rudderless ship you described.
Yeah.
Going over to the NHL, like, you want to say the Blackhawks, but at least they have a future.
They got a Bedard.
You can see it.
Yeah, you can squint and
so
see it.
So behind them was the San Jose Sharks, and like, they've been bad since I left California. I don't know how much further they are than, say, the Panthers and, like, the elite teams. And we'll see what happens tonight. I know we're going to talk about that later.
In the 5 o'clock hour, we'll touch on both of the winner-take-all games tonight.
Right. So we have that type of situation going. And I'm like, but is this in the same boat as the White Sox Dodgers? It's not.
I don't think so.
It's not.
Because it's institutional. It's everything. It's how they're run. I mean, that front office, I could have gone deeper on the front office. Bob Wolf is there. He used to be the boss of the Atlanta Hawks. Like, I mean, like, long time trusted professional sports executives. And the White Sox do not have that in the front office. They've got some good, interesting development people. I think Josh Barfield is smart. I think Brian Bannister is smart. But those are, like, lower down the run. You're talking about a Dodgers front office, which is a who's who. It's a stacked front office.
Stacked in every sense of the word.
Yeah.
It starts with the roster, and then you look at every aspect of that organization, and it's just, like you said, who's who.
And I would say it starts with the front office and the goal and the vision and the ownership. And it's just so healthy from top to bottom. And then you end up with a roster like this.
Do you remember when Magic Johnson joined that ownership group?
And
it was just like, oh, Magic. And then, like, what he was saying and why he wanted to be a part of it is like, yeah, they're probably going to be good for a long time. And it's just more reinforcing of winners.
Yeah.
Like Magic Johnson, you know his story, becoming a billionaire and everything.
Absolutely.
It's just winners.
What did Magic do? It was movie theaters.
Movie theaters. Yeah. He built movie. He learned from his rich friends because he was famous. So he's like, I'm going to go get meetings with people who sit courtside at Lakers games and pick their brains. And that paid off very well for Magic Johnson.
Yeah, paid off extremely well.
Exactly.
So, you know, here's the thing about baseball, though. With everything that I just threw out there and all these differences in the extremely dissimilar organizations.
White Sox take the series.
Right?
Garrett Crochet, you said, right?
That's baseball, isn't it? I think I got to pick them tonight. I mean, everything I just laid out there, that's how this freaking frustrating sport works. Crochet will probably get Ohtani 3 times. Ohtani leads off these days with the absence of Mookie Betts. I think Ohtani's been leading off.
Outside of Thorpe, I mean, Crochet, Flex, and Fetty, I don't hate those starters
for
the series.
Yeah.
And they've got Paxton, Miller, and Stone. I like this. Yeah.
So tomorrow night's Bobby Miller. That dude has ridiculous stuff. Outrageous.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, I know.
A Dodgers starter with ridiculous stuff.
He's got a big pile of them. But, you know, I mean, watching Crochet go after Ohtani is worth it. And with everything I just said, I might have to put a couple dollars on the White Sox.
I just want to tell you, speaking of dollars on the White Sox, dollars on anything.
Yes, sir.
As it lists right now on ESPN.com,
mm-hmm.
the get-in price for these games, $13 tonight, $11 tomorrow, and then it's $56 on Wednesday. But $13 to go see Shohei Ohtani? Like, $11? I just take the train and just
wow.
be like,
you didn't even take the train.
Like,
do King Bleep. Take a divvy bike.
You're absolutely right.
Take
actually.
A divvy bike over there.
Where I live, yes, I can definitely
it's
do
the
that.
The easiest, man. Go through Chinatown, go through Bridgeport.
Yes.
And then bing bang boom.
I can literally do that.
Yeah.
So, like, hey, if you want to go see some baseball tonight, see a legendary superstar, like,
there's your option, and go get some of their elote.
That's the one advantage of the White Sox being bad, is that when otherwise great players come to town, now the tickets are not, it's not like going to see the sky yesterday.
Well, see, that's it. That was a scene. I need to know about it. I need to know everything you saw, because, and the amount that you paid to make that happen.
Yeah.
I need stories from the scene and that experience yesterday for Marshall Harris, who's in for Danny Parkins right here on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
A source told the Parkins and Spiegel Show on 670 The Score. I know those guys.
Afternoons on The Score.
Clark lobs it in. The tip won't happen. That is it. Chicago with a ferocious comeback for their first win of the season against the Fever.
I'm a dog. You can't teach that. I'm going to go out and do whatever it takes to win, and every single night, my teammates rely on my energy. So being able to continue the energy, even if we're down, even if we're up, that's what I do.
That's Angel Reese after the game yesterday. Two big events yesterday. We'll talk about the other one top of the hour when I'll give you stories and details from the statue unveiling over at Wrigley yesterday. But I need to hear about this. Marshall Harris, who's in for Danny Parkins today, noted sports voice and Bon Vivant. You good with Bon Vivant? You enjoying that one?
You know what? Any effort you put into describing me in a positive manner, I will take.
Damn handsome man.
Well, you know, got to get your glasses checked, you know.
No.
I don't know where your last eye doctor appointment was. But the other stuff, yeah, I like talking about sports. I like sharing my opinions.
So tell me about this. So why'd you go yesterday?
So I have a friend in town from my time in Philadelphia. He was here for a financial conference. He's like, I'm going to come in a couple of days early. Can I crash with you? I was like, yeah, absolutely. I haven't seen him in a while. One of my best friends in Philly. And he was like, okay, let's do some Chicago stuff. I really want to go to the lake. I was like, okay. And then we were talking. And he was like, yeah, you know, Caitlin Clark, you've been watching? I was like, of course I watch, man. You know, they play tomorrow. He's like, they play here? It's like, yeah. He's like, let's get tickets. It's like, it's supposed to be the most expensive WNBA game of all time.
The average ticket price on the secondary market I saw was $358.
I did not go that high, but it was about $250 for each for the ticket. And he was all about it, so I was like, fine, we'll go. And we went to Winchester Arena, got there early, and he's like, I want to see Caitlin Clark do her warm-up thing. I was like, this is like a little kid talking about Steph Curry, and I guess what kids are talking now about Caitlin Clark.
It's a real buzz. It's a genuine sports thing. Aside from all the narrative and all the everything, it's like, and the end of that game was on at Wrigley, by the way, in the cafeteria. There was a lot of excited media watching that and breaking it down.
So we get there, and like Vic Mensa's performing pregame, and like they had, Dirk at halftime. I was just like, this is really more than just a basketball game. And it was sold out, and the energy was... It was Liddy up until the point where the sky go down by 15. And I told my buddy, I was like, yeah, I don't know. I don't think they have the horses to come back from this, because they just weren't playing that well. And Angel Reese said, oh, really? And she just took it to another level. A lot of people have been hard on her because she struggled so much as a power forward, but with bad field goal percentage numbers and then the rebounds. Yeah, she's the best offensive rebounder perhaps in the league, but she misses a lot of shots. She tightened it up, and she finished with 25 and 16.
25 and 16.
And, like, she had an and-one that tied the game and completed that comeback from down 15, and the place went berserk. And I was like, oh, this is a vibe. And it got me excited for the WNBA. Cheryl Swoops was there, like, courtside.
I saw that Cheryl Swoops was there. She addressed the team. I think it was before the game.
After. She addressed
it after.
She addressed them after.
Because after the game, Angel Reese, like, went right to Cheryl Swoops, went right to her.
Couldn't even get the interview in before she went and saw Cheryl Swoops and gave her a hug, like, had that conversation. But, like, when they put her on the Jumbotron, like, the Arena Vision or whatever you want to call it, standing ovation.
And Cheryl Swoops?
I was one of the first ones to stand up because, like, that's Cheryl Swoops. When I was in college, like, she... built this league. Her and Cynthia Cooper, those three-time WNBA champion Houston Comets. I watched those games. So, like, you know, they play in the summer. There's no other basketball on.
Man.
And it was like...
So as a basketball junkie, see, so you are in different rarefied air to begin with in this conversation. You have followed that league and can speak on that league.
And I had to, like, he knew Caitlin Clark. And obviously he knew who Angel Reese was. He didn't know Angel Reese was left-handed. And that told me everything I need to know about his level of knowledge on the WNBA. This guy's a former professional basketball player. He played overseas in Australia. He was on the New York Nationals, who toured around the U.S. with the Harlem Globetrotters playing against them, you know, in their kind of show. And so, like, it's not like he doesn't know basketball.
Hold on. You can't just drop that bomb and just expect us to, like, let that go by. The New York Nationals is like the Washington Generals.
Yeah, they have a couple of different teams that they play against.
I thought the Generals were due. So, he was on the Nationals and went torn around with the Globetrotters?
Yeah, and, like,
can we get him? Can we get him on?
He's at a conference today. So
what?
Yeah,
he's making money.
Yeah, you can get him on.
Step out.
You can get him on.
Let me get this straight. You took all the money you made franchising your name and bet it against the Harlem Globetrotters?
I thought the Generals were due. That game was fixed. They were using a freaking ladder, for God's sakes.
That's good stuff.
He's spinning the ball on his finger.
Listen. So, anyway, he's like...
I don't break out crusty.
He's older than me. You know I'm old.
Yeah.
But he had like this childlike joy throughout this game. And I was just like, I'm so glad we did this. We had so much fun. Like, it was so much. And the game came down to the wire.
I know. So look, you've got sporting event. And we talk about the sporting event. And some of our listeners would care about the sports of it and the sporting aspect of it. But like the scene and the thing. Let me get this straight. You have a serious... OG Hall of Famer, all-time great, and Cheryl Swoops, who just decided to come because it's a big game.
Yeah.
She's also a podcaster, and she's media of some sort.
She played with, like, Spoon.
Teresa. Played with the coach.
So they played the same era. They're from the same era.
Played against each other in finals, I believe.
And it was a full circle moment for me because the first time I ever went to Madison Square Garden, I was in college, and I was going to visit my future agent. She was like, you know, come visit. It was between my junior and senior year in college. I'd never been to New York City. I've been to New York City. Sorry. I'd never been to the Garden. I was like, yo, let's find out what's in the Garden, whether there's a concert, whatever. You know who's in the Garden? The New York Liberty are playing a WNBA game. We got like $10 tickets, sat in the nosebleeds, and watched Teresa Weatherspoon go to work.
Hmm.
Just dogging people out on defense. So, like, I love that, like, I'm an OG WNBA fan by virtue.
And you've seen the coach play.
Yeah.
So that's cool. So it's got all that connectivity. You know, for somebody who has followed the sport.
And Caitlin Clark was good. And here's the thing. The thing that I heard from so many people who were at the game was like, I didn't know she was that good of a passer. I said,
she's such a great passer.
And she had, like, turnovers. And this is the knock on her. She turns the ball over a lot. Her teammates do her no... They offer her no help.
Even at the end, was it Phillips? Was it Aaliyah Phillips that she set up for the possible
Aaliyah
game
Boston.
Aaliyah Boston, excuse me. So Aaliyah Boston, she had a good pass.
She had a three to tie the game and missed the three, but like... Uh-huh.
But Caitlin set her up with like an 18-footer or something, top of the key.
My issue with her coach, and I don't know if she's going to be the coach next year, but Caitlin Clark has to have the ball in her hands during those final couple of possessions in a role where she can shoot. Like, you know, like they let Steph Curry work off the ball
in
late game sets. Because if you just give him the ball, they'll just double team him. He's going to get rid of it.
Right.
You've got to get her open. And they didn't do that. So I think they did her a disservice.
That's interesting. Yeah, but, so there's all sorts of basketball stuff about her game.
She had 13 assists, could have had 18.
Yeah. And she's a really good, they talked about it, this a get-ahead passer.
Layups. And they couldn't catch the ball to get the layup.
She's got great court vision.
Doing it like Kevin Love style if you watch the NBA.
And
like,
that's why the Pete Maravich stuff was actually really fun for me to think about, because he had beautiful vision as a passer. And you would use that vision and those skills as part of like the weaponry that got him space to shoot from deep.
And they were calling her, you know, Pistol Pete with a ponytail. And she loved that because she understood.
She
knows the game.
Yeah.
Like, It's crazy because their fans are like wild and crazy and new to the game and just they're ruining the experience for everyone. But she understands and has the reverence for the players that she grew up watching. Obviously, she grew up watching women's college basketball players.
All right, so wait a minute. So we got an OG, we got an all-timer in Cheryl Swoops. We got coaches with connectivity that you have seen as players.
Yes.
We've got Vic Mensa and Lil Durk both did a concert. Mensa before and Lil Durk at halftime?
Yeah.
Is that every game?
No.
Does Sky do that?
It was also the Juneteenth celebration.
Ah, okay.
So you had like Juneteenth was being celebrated. And so, it was just a lot going on. It was one of those, I felt good about the money that I had spent. And I felt like I was rewarded with the show that I expected to see.
That's pretty cool. I know that Chance was there. I saw Chance the Rapper, yes. Of course.
Jalen Brunson was courtside.
Jalen Brunson, man. Hanging out courtside. Jason Sudeikis?
Yes, he was there too.
Is he a big Indiana Fever guy?
He's a huge WNBA fan, period. He's been popping up at WNBA games for at least a decade. At least. Yeah, and he can shoot a little bit too.
He was a big time high school basketball player.
Yeah, so he can shoot. He did like a whole thing with Sabrina Ionescu shooting. Like it was just listen. If
Chance,
you get a chance to go see
Rapper Chance, a Chance pet rapper, or something like that.
Wait, who is that?
It's Mike. It's Francesa.
Oh my goodness,
an all timer.
Rapper Chance, a Chance pet rapper, or something like that.
My goodness. But it was great, and I was like, the Cubs are playing.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not going Saturday. It's too hot, but I'll go Sunday. He's like, no, let's go see these, a tourist coming into town.
Yeah.
I'd rather go see.
That's what he wanted to do.
The Fever in the Sky than go to a Cubs game.
Have they talked about moving games to United Center? The possibility. That would have been one to consider.
I don't think they have, but that definitely would have been the one to consider. They've played now three times. The Sky have lost twice in Indiana. There's one more game that's going to be at Wintrust. They could easily fill up the United Center.
You're making me want to go.
They could easily fill up the United Center. I won't miss that game.
So that's my neighborhood down there in the South Loop. You walk around, there's a brewery, there's a few different breweries, there's bars.
We went to Williams Inn Pizza. Is that ring a bell? It was good. The food was good.
Yeah.
Because Fat Poor was too busy. It was right across the street.
Right, Fat Poor is the one.
And then Vu is a Sky Lounge.
Yeah.
But it was private event booked.
Oh, man.
So, but yeah, we had a good time down in the South Loop where I live.
I think it's Vue. I think it's Vue.
Is it Vue?
Yeah, because you can see stuff.
Yeah, I knew that. We got into a whole argument about that. I was like, but it's spelled V-U.
I know.
I took French. Deja vu.
I know what they're trying to do.
No, it's Deja Vu. Marshall, you're wrong. Yeah, okay, I'm wrong. I'll take the L.
They're trying to sell
it. It won't be the first one. It definitely won't be the last.
All right, he's Marshall Harris. I'm Matt Spiegel. Top of the hour, we'll give you stories and sights and sounds from the other big event in the sports universe yesterday afternoon. But coming up next, I need your help with something.
I'm here for you.
You're wise, and I need your wisdom. We'll do that next on The Score.
Dan Bernstein, The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Pat McGann.
I feel like I'm in a garage on the south side, but you guys have an antenna. That's like the biggest difference.
Yeah.
Afternoons on The Score. Marshall Harris, sports director, Mississippi State University.
Yeah, he is. Were you the sports director at Mississippi State University?
I was the sports director at the student radio station.
Yes, you were?
I was.
Outstanding.
That meant 4 a.m. wake-up calls to go put together the sports. Back in the day, it was a little more complex than just throwing some cuts up.
That's cool. I was a sports director at the Emerson College television station.
Okay.
Not the radio station. I don't think we had much of a sports department at the radio station.
They didn't. We just created one because I was like, can we do some sports stuff? And they're like, yeah, how about you do stuff for our morning show? I was like, well, what does that mean? It's like starting at 6 a.m., you got to come on every half hour and do some stuff.
You are an extremely resourceful sports professional.
I try to be.
Marshall.
I try to be. I'm a sports editor at the student newspaper, The Reflector, as well.
The Reflector?
Yeah.
And what did you reflect? Only society?
Only the news we care to print was our mantra. I used it as an opportunity to, I was like, oh, anything where I can get here and get my opinion off, let's do that.
Yeah.
Columns.
See, so that's the thing, man. The role most know you from in this town when you've been at CBS 2 Chicago doing the 6 o'clock and the 10 o'clock and what have you, that's not a role where the opinions can fly.
No, my opinion is we need more time. That's my universal opinion.
Yeah, right?
As a guy who has done sports on local television in several of the markets that he has worked.
So let's talk about this a little bit. Let's talk a little shop here, and we'll get to the Sandberg statue and experiences from that yesterday afternoon at the top of the hour. But it's Parker the Spiegel. Marshall Harris is in for Danny. So Last night I'm doing the Fox show, the sports zone with Luke Kanellis. Cassie Carlson.
Love Cassie. It's her birthday this week.
Is it really?
Yeah.
She's been fun to work with.
Yes.
She's good. Great. She's sharp.
Yes.
And I've been
Happy birthday, Mike.
Great to have you, Lou.
That's an awkward handshake that I have with Lou. That's one thing I should definitely ask him about, Tanny. That's not the advice I want to get, but that's an excellent secondary bit of advice I can get. Put a pin in that. Let's talk about that after this. So I'm doing the show last night. I've been doing the show a lot on Sunday nights.
I see you in there.
It's been really, really fun to do.
Got you all buttoned up with your nice jacket on.
All right, so two questions. The jacket. Do I button the jacket sitting at the console or sitting at the desk? Do you button the jacket even while seated? Because I've been taught a man of
leaves the back jacket unbuttoned when seated,
leave it unbuttoned.
Okay.
But I see people buttoning it all the time. Your thoughts as a television professional?
All right,
so
this is more of a preference type deal, right?
Okay.
And you can do it either way. Let me be clear on that. It's more about how do you want your fit to look. Behind the desk, most newscasters button it up. You're not on a newscast. You're on a show that's talking about sports.
It's an opinion show.
It's an opinion-driven show. So whatever you feel comfortable. When we used to do the reporters together.
Yes.
I never button my jacket. Like, we out here just...
Yeah, you're just hanging. You're letting it fly.
But
did you always button up on the six and the 10?
Yeah, if I could. Because sometimes the suit's a little tight. When I first got to Chicago, my suits were a little tight. It had been a minute since I had worn something where I had to button it up.
I had that last night. I wore it buttoned for the first half of the show. And then at one of the breaks, I was like, you know, if that button flies off, that's going to be
It's not going to be a good look. It's not going to be a good look. You're going to be going viral for all the wrong reasons.
All the wrong reasons.
So, yeah, I would just leave it unbuttoned. Okay. If there's ever a question, always leave it unbuttoned.
All right, and here's my main question. And this can work, especially for the visuals, anybody watching us on Twitch. I'll sit there, right, on this opinion show. I got no computer. I got no props or fake props.
It's just you
in
your head.
It's just me and the geniusness.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? I'm sitting there. I got the hands clasped here, sitting on the desk in front of me. Now,
okay, interlocked fingers.
Yeah, interlocked fingers. Doesn't really feel natural after a while. Feels very forced after a while. Do I spread the hands across, spread the hands wide and just let them fly? Or am I taking up too much space on a desk with three? While I'm talking, I can use the arms and use the hands and make my point, but it still feels a little awkward. Does it depend on what the other people are doing? Is there a uniform thought process as to how one expresses?
No. So here's what I'll say about that. First of all, don't do the clasped fingers if it feels uncomfortable, because that means you want to be as authentic as possible in every single moment when you're not dealing with life and death stuff.
That's the way I go about it on the radio,
yeah,
for sure.
Why are we changing? Last time I checked, this is not just an audio medium. This is also visual now because we're in the digital age.
I'm glad I asked.
So
I
now,
have a very wise man next to me.
You do whatever is comfortable with you. So, what I'm saying is, don't worry about what everybody else is doing, because they're doing their own thing.
Uh-huh.
You got to do what's true to Matt Spiegel. So, if they're talking, you can give a lean. You could, you're obviously listening to them talking. So, if you're three wide and you're, if I'm right, you're camera right, correct?
Yes.
So, you're camera right. So, you might look at this person, look at that, whoever, address.
However
be
it is.
Be fully engaged and understand.
Okay, is there a rule about me playing solitaire on my phone while somebody else is talking? Is that rude in any way?
Unless you're Adam Schefter getting breaking news, don't do that. Don't have your phone out.
That was over the weekend when he was getting an award or something, right?
Sounds about right. But he's done it several times, whether he's on NFL Live, SportsCenter, whatever. You'll see him just literally in the middle of a hit. He'll be on a quad box or whatever, and he'll just pick up the phone. And in the next 5 minutes, something's happened.
Okay.
You're not doing that I don't think.
No, I'm not.
Okay,
so just be myself.
Just
let it fly, be natural, don't worry about it.
Yeah, and be fully engaged with the two people you're on with and the fourth person, which is that camera.
Yes.
That's the people at home.
That's that extra
and
person.
And know where your camera is, so that if you need to really hammer home a point, look into your camera.
All right, there
and let
it is.
The people know what it is.
Hey,
right now, I'm looking right into it.
I mean, you know, Marshall, I mean, I'm sure you know this. I'm sure you've covered this in your research. I did win Sportscaster of the Year at Emerson Independent Video while at college twice as a junior and a senior.
How many other students were you going up against for that honor?
Five?
Okay.
Perhaps six?
Okay.
Yeah. So it's not a lot. You know, to your point.
It's more than two. Like, you're doing it.
But you didn't know that? That's not on the bio?
I didn't see it in your bio.
Hey, intern, Peter Hansen, would you update my Wikipedia, please, to include my Emerson Independent? No, you don't have to do
Somebody's
that.
Reading Wikipedia.
Yeah, it's Peter. It's Peter who's going to do that. All right, then last bit of television advice. Tanny played the audio. At the end of one of these appearances, Luke Kanellis reached out to me incredibly awkwardly. So you're there.
Okay.
You're to the left, and Lou's here to the right, and he reaches out with the left hand up like this.
So he's going for a dab.
It just stinks that it's 2 years in a row, and that flaw is kind of a big one.
Thank you for coming on out.
Great to have you, Lou.
Great to have Matt Spiegel in.
Okay, couple things.
So a slap? Did I hear a slap?
I say great to have you.
It's great to have you, Lou.
It's his show, right?
Yeah,
what's
that about?
I was flustered because I was looking at the hand. He reaches out the left hand and holds it high like that, right?
Oh, so high five.
What?
I don't know what you're doing.
What am I supposed to do?
I would have made a fist.
You make a fist and make him change.
Because no matter what.
I'm the guest, though.
But no, listen to me. No matter what, if you make the fist, it's going to be a dab.
Yeah.
No matter what.
You set that up.
No one's covering this thing like paper on rock.
Unless you're Shane. Have you fallen prey to Shane's move of late?
What's the move?
Extend the fist. This is what Shane does. Just grabs the fist like that. He grabs it with the hand.
Does he yell out paper?
You feel emasculated. It's a terrible, terrible feeling. He will grab the fist and throw it away. And you're like, now I'm nothing.
You know how I avoid all the cultural awkwardness of any kind of handshake? Is either I'm giving you a firm handshake,
yeah,
or I'm bringing you all the way in.
For the hug.
Yeah.
Well.
You don't get this hug.
Well, you do, and you don't do the handshake.
No, I'm pulling you to me.
You bro it up.
I'm pulling you to me.
Turn the hand side, up ways.
Like, if I don't know you, I'm giving you a firm handshake. But if I know you, come on, man. Come on, that goes back to the authenticity. No.
I get you. So when Lou does this,
but I don't. You would have understand what he was doing. Did you talk to him about it afterwards? Did you figure out what he was trying to do?
The next week, I think. He went under. He went under there, and we had a little.
I can't do that.
An adorable little.
It would have been a dab.
Yeah, it was awkward. It was terrible.
That's the advice you were talking about.
Well, yeah, the advice I needed was with the hands.
Oh, yeah, the hands thing is easy. The hands thing is easy.
Peter, do you have an update on the Wikipedia page? Have you changed that? Have you added that in?
I'm on it right now, actually. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
It takes some time. I'm going to guess he's a first time Wikipedia editor.
So he's got to get clearance.
He might have gotten lost because he might have just started reading the bio.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of bureaucracy to it that I'm working through right now. So
interesting. Interesting.
I'm looking at it right now and just the references, the fact that there's 14 different footnoted references, that seems like somebody put a lot of time into the Matt Spiegel page on Wikipedia.
All right. All right, Peter, we got a 440 segment that's wide open, okay? 440, you're the intern. I want to know what you think is interesting. I want you to come up with something. I want you to program a radio show. You're going to learn stuff on this show. It's different than the way that Bernstein and Holmes have treated you, okay? Welcome to the big time. All right, pal? All right, good. Flavor and stories from the statue day is next on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Dan Bernstein, The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Pat McGann.
I feel like I'm in a garage on the south side, but you guys have an antenna. That's like the biggest difference.
Yeah.
Afternoons on The Score.
Marshall Harris, sports director, Mississippi State University.
Yeah, he is. Were you the sports director at Mississippi State University?
I was the sports director at the student radio station.
Yes, you were?
I was.
Outstanding.
That meant 4 a.m. wake-up calls to go put together the sports. Back in the day, it was a little more complex than just throwing some cuts up.
That's cool. I was a sports director at the Emerson College television station.
Okay.
not the radio station. I don't think we had much of a sports department at the radio station.
They didn't. We just created one because I was like, can we do some sports stuff? And they're like, yeah, how about you do stuff for our morning show? I was like, well, what does that mean? It's like, starting at 6 a.m., you got to come on every half hour and do some stuff.
You are an extremely resourceful sports professional.
I try to be.
Marshall.
I try to be. I was sports editor at the student newspaper, The Reflector, as well.
The Reflector?
Yeah.
And what did you reflect? Only society?
Only the news we care to print was our mantra. I used it as an opportunity to, I was like, oh, anything where I can get here and get my opinion off, let's do that. Yeah. Columns.
See, so that's the thing, man. The role most know you from in this town when you've been at CBS 2 Chicago doing the 6 o'clock and the 10 o'clock and what have you, that's not a role where the opinions can fly.
No, my opinion is we need more time. That's my universal opinion.
Yeah, right.
As a guy who has done sports on local television in several of the markets that he has worked.
So let's talk about this a little bit. Let's talk a little shop here, and we'll get to the Sandberg statue and experiences from that yesterday afternoon at the top of the hour. But it's Parker the Spiegel. Marshall Harris is in for Danny. So last night I'm doing the Fox show, the sports zone with Luke Kanellis, Cassie Carlson.
Love Cass. It's her birthday this week.
Is it really?
Yeah.
She's been fun to work with.
Yeah,
she's good.
Great.
She's sharp.
Yes.
And I've been
happy birthday, Mike.
Great to have you, Lou.
That's an awkward handshake that I have with Lou. That's one thing I should definitely ask him about, Tanny. That's not the advice I want to get, but that's an excellent secondary bit of advice I can get. Put a pin in that. Let's talk about that after this. So I'm doing the show last night. I've been doing the show a lot on Sunday nights.
I see you in there.
It's been really, really fun to do.
Got you all buttoned up with your nice jacket on.
All right, so two questions. The jacket. Do I button the jacket sitting at the console or sitting at the desk? Do you button the jacket even while seated? Because I've been taught a man of
leaves the back jacket unbuttoned when seated,
leave it unbuttoned.
Okay.
But I see people buttoning it all the time. Your thoughts as a television professional?
All right, so
sir.
this is more of a preference type deal, right?
Okay.
And you can do it either way. Let me be clear on that. It's more about how do you want your fit to look. Like behind the desk, most newscasters button it up. You're not on a newscast. You're on a show that's talking about sports.
It's an opinion show.
It's an opinion-driven show. So whatever you feel comfortable. We used to do the reporters together.
Yes.
I like never button my jacket. Like we out here just.
Yeah, you're just hanging. You're letting it fly.
But
did you always button up on the six and the 10?
Yeah, if I could. Because sometimes suits a little tight. When I first got to Chicago, my suits were a little tight. It had been a minute since I had worn something where I had to button it up.
I had that last night. I wore it buttoned for the first half of the show. And then at one of the breaks, I was like, you know, if that button flies off, that's going to be
it's not going to be a good look. It's not going to be a good look. You're going to be going viral for all the wrong reasons.
All the wrong reasons.
So, yeah, I would just leave it unbuttoned. Okay. If there's ever a question, always leave it unbuttoned.
All right, and here's my main question. And this can work, especially for the visuals, anybody watching us on Twitch. I'll sit there, right, on this opinion show. I got no computer. I got no props or fake props.
It's just you
props.
In your head.
It's just me and the geniusness.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? I'm sitting there. I got the hands clasped here, sitting on the desk in front of me. Now,
okay, interlocked fingers.
Yeah, interlocked fingers. Doesn't really feel natural after a while. Feels very forced after a while. Do I spread the hands across, like spread the hands wide and just let them fly? Or am I taking up too much space on a desk with three? While I'm talking, I can use the arms and use the hands and make my point, but it still feels a little awkward. Does it depend on what the other people are doing? Is there a uniform thought process as to how one expresses?
No. So here's what I'll say about that. First of all, don't do the clasped fingers if it feels uncomfortable, because that means you want to be as authentic as possible in every single moment when you're not dealing with life and death stuff.
That's the way I go about it on the radio,
yeah,
for sure.
Why are we changing it? Last time I checked, this is not just an audio medium. This is also visual now because we're in the digital age.
I'm glad I asked.
So
I
now,
have a very wise man next to me.
You do whatever is comfortable with you. So, like, what I'm saying is don't worry about what everybody else is doing because they're doing their own thing.
Uh-huh.
You got to do what's true to Matt Spiegel. So, like, if they're talking, you can give a lean. You could, like, you're obviously listening to them talking. So, like, if you're three wide and you're, if I'm right, you're camera right, correct?
Yes.
So, you're camera right. So, you might look at this person, look at that, whoever, address.
However
be
it is.
Be fully engaged and understand.
Okay,
it's you.
Is there a rule about me playing solitaire on my phone while somebody else is talking? Is that rude in any way?
Unless you're Adam Schefter getting breaking news, don't do that. Don't have your phone out.
That was over the weekend. That was over the weekend when he was getting an award or something, right?
Sounds about right. But he's done it several times, whether he's on NFL Live, SportsCenter, whatever. You'll see him just literally in the middle of a hit. He'll be on a quad box or whatever, and he'll just pick up the phone. And you know in the next 5 minutes, something's going to be some graphics tweet something. Something's happened.
Okay.
You're not doing that at, I don't think.
No, I'm not. Okay, so just be myself. Just let it fly, be natural, don't worry about it.
Yeah, and be fully engaged with the two people you're on with and the fourth person, which is that camera.
Yes.
That's the people at home.
That's that extra
and
person.
And know where your camera is so that if you need to like really hammer home a point, look into your camera.
All right, there
and let
it is.
The people know what it is. Hey, like man, right now, I'm looking right into it.
I mean, you know, Marshall, I mean, I'm sure you know this. I'm sure you've covered this in your research. I did win Sportscaster of the Year at Emerson Independent Video while at college twice as a junior and a senior.
How many other students were you going up against for that honor?
Five.
Okay.
Perhaps six.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's not a lot. It's point.
It's more than two. Like, you're doing it.
But you didn't know that? That's not on the bio?
I didn't see it in your bio.
Hey, intern, Peter Hansen, would you update my Wikipedia, please, to include my Emerson Independent? No, you don't have to do
Somebody's
that.
Reading Wikipedia.
Yeah, it's Peter. It's Peter who's going to do that. All right, then last bit of television advice. Tanny played the audio. At the end of one of these appearances, Luke Kanellis reached out to me incredibly awkwardly. So you're there.
Okay.
You're to the left, and Lou's here to the right, and he reaches out with the left hand up like this.
So he's going for a dab?
It just stinks that it's 2 years in a row, and that flaw is kind of a big one.
Thank you for coming on out.
It's great to have you, Lou.
Great to have Matt Spiegel in.
Okay, couple things in
so
there.
So a slap? Did I hear a slap?
I say great to have you.
It's great to have you, Lou.
It's his show. Right?
Yeah, what's that? What's that about?
I was flustered because I was looking at the hand. He reaches out the left hand and holds it high like that, right?
Oh, so high five.
What?
I don't know what y'all are doing.
What am I supposed to do?
I would have made a fist.
You make a fist and make him change.
Because no matter what.
I'm the guest, though.
But no, listen to me. No matter what, if you make the fist, it's going to be a dab.
Yeah.
No matter what.
You set that up.
No one's covering this thing like paper on rock.
Unless you're Shane. Have you fallen prey to Shane's move of late?
What's the move?
Extend the fist. This is what Shane does. Just grabs the fist like that. He grabs it with the hand.
Does he yell out paper?
You feel emasculated. It's a terrible, terrible feeling. He will grab the fist and throw it away. And you're like, now I'm nothing.
You know how I avoid all the cultural awkwardness of any kind of handshake? Is either I'm giving you a firm handshake, or I'm bringing you all the way in.
For the hug.
Yeah.
Well.
You don't get this hug.
Well, you do, and you don't do the handshake.
No, I'm pulling you to me.
You bro it up. You turn the
I'm
hand.
I'm pulling you to me.
Turn the hand side, like up ways.
Like, if I don't know you, I'm giving you a firm handshake. But if I know you, come on, man. Come on, that goes back to the authenticity. No.
I get you. So when Lou does this,
but I don't. You would have understand what he was doing. Did you talk to him about it afterwards? Did you figure out what he was trying to do?
The next week, I think. He went under. He went under there, and we had a little.
I can't do that.
Adorable little.
It would have been a dab.
Yeah, it was awkward. It was terrible.
That's the advice you were talking about.
Well, yeah, the advice I needed was with the hands.
Oh, yeah, the hands thing is easy. The hands thing is easy.
Peter, do you have an update on the Wikipedia page? Have you changed that? Have you added that in?
I'm on it right now, actually. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
It takes some time. I think that's he's a first. Stuff. I think he's a. I'm gonna guess he's a first time Wikipedia editor.
So he's got to get. He's got to get clearance.
He might have gotten lost because he might have just started reading the bio.
Okay. Yeah. There's a lot of bureaucracy to it that I'm working through right now. So
interesting. Interesting.
I'm looking at it right now and like. Right. Just the references, the fact that there's 14 different footnoted references, that seems like somebody put a lot of time into the Matt Spiegel page on Wikipedia.
All right. All right, Peter, we got a 440 segment that's wide open, okay? 440, you're the intern. I want to know what you think is interesting. I want you to come up with something. I want you to program a radio show. You're going to learn stuff on this show. It's different than the way that Bernstein and Holmes have treated you, okay? Welcome to the big time. All right, pal? All right, good. Flavor and Stories from the Statue Day is next on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.